Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to be with you. And there we go. If it gets shocked, it's fine.
Everybody's awake.
Everybody's awake, yeah. Isn't God good? And you know, the most beautiful thing that you can do when we gather like this is when God's presence comes, is that you open up yourself and enjoy Him. Amen? Because He comes because He delights Himself in us. The Bible says when we delight ourselves in Him, what happens? He gives us the desires, but a lot of us want to have the desires of our heart at the expense of not delighting in His presence. Just thought I'd just share that a little bit this morning. And there's a couple of words that God had laid on my heart, and really just trusting to see where God is wanting to allow the flow of His presence to speak to His people this morning. And so, Father, thank You for Your presence. And more importantly, we thank You for the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit to come into meetings, Lord, and to take Scripture and to shine light into hearts where there's darkness. And Father, to bring life and to bring healing and to bring deliverance and to, Lord, to restore. But Father, then to also revive. And so I thank You, Father, that there is such a wonderful thing, Lord, when we open up our hearts and we hear the voice of God speaking to us, and we know that we know that we know we've heard from the Lord. This has not come from the mouth of man. And Jesus said to Peter, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the... And He says to you, Son, that has not come to you by man, but that has come to you by my Spirit, the Heavenly Father. And so this morning, Heavenly Father, would you speak? Would you captivate our hearts this morning afresh? There's a scripture that I was contemplating during worship, and it's a scripture in Ephesians where it says that we are rooted, which means underground, and established, which is above the ground. Rooted and established in His love, are then able to comprehend. What are we able to comprehend? What is the length? What is the breadth? What is the depth of His love that what? Surpasses all understanding. So, I'm going to be married 25 years in December the 8th, and with three kids, as you've heard, and marriage is a really, really beautiful thing, and I think for you guys just to be able to be celebrating 46 years is beautiful. But I want to tell you that what is beautiful to Jesus, and what is dear to the heart of Jesus, is His bride. I want to tell you, this is like the second time I've ever been in this nation. Never been to Liverpool in my life. I don't know what God is saying and what God is doing, but I do know He does. And when we have this ability in the Spirit to step into Him, He knows. He knows you so well. He knows you so intimately. And you can have a stranger from South Africa come and say things, and you go like, man, it feels like He knows us. And it's, I don't. I know the One who knows you. His name is Jesus. And this last night, as I just spent time in my bedroom and I was trying to find my best sermon, I really want to impress Russ, you know. I was in his connect group, and you know, and he was one of my first proper connect group leaders, and I was like, hey, Russ, I'm going to do your bride. And but just say, hey, I've got to come up with a good sermon. And then I just felt like God said, just speak about me. Just speak about my presence. Just speak about the love that I have. And I was just so overwhelmed with the intensity that God loves this church. Amen. And that we are rooted and grounded in this love. And then the scripture goes on to say God's love is patient, it is kind, it is gentle. It goes on and on and on and says, and then it says, love never. And then it goes on to say, these three shall remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then it goes on to say, pursue love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And then it goes on to say, especially the gift of prophecy. Why? Because it's there to encourage, to build up, and to edify. And so I wanted to read a passage out of a book. And the reason why is I sometimes feel like God wants me to help people draw their attention to something that God has spoken over a nation and say, like, I believe, like you're taking your cloak off, like you're moving into a new season. And I wanted to say this. How many of you can say every spring has been the same spring? Well, how many of you can say every spring has had something different, even though it's been a spring? Amen. I want to say to you, there's a new thing God's doing in your spring season. It's not a spring season like you had before. It's a new thing. That's why I love the scripture that was came. God is doing a new thing in his church, which means we need to be able to respond to say to God, what is that which is old of a coat or whatever? And what is the new thing that you are saying in this season? Because you know, God is speaking in a now moment about what he's doing now with his church. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. And so you and I get to partner with God in a now moment. Amen. So your faith is a reality now, because when you fix your eyes on Jesus, he is the author and the perfecter of your faith. And as you partner with Jesus, you are building the church with Jesus that he said the gates of hell will not prevail. And so your partnership is with Jesus building his church. And at the same time, we part of preparing what? Jesus coming back for. He's coming back for his
bride.
His bride. I remember when I had to walk down, well, my wife had to walk down the aisle. My fiance, you've got to get it right.
Yeah.
It was only my wife when she got to the end there. And we had to lift the veil. And then I got to behold. I got to behold her beauty. My friends, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we were with unveiled faces. Behold the glory of God. And then as a result of beholding, what you behold, you become. As you behold his glory, you are being transformed. What are you being transformed into? What are you being transformed into? Ever increasing glory. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so this morning I want to be able to be able to ask this question. Do you know who lives inside of you? Truly? Are you aware that Christ dwells in you? Do you know that you carry the very presence of God? I have the statement, we are a kingdom people who carry his presence and his power to fulfill his purpose wherever we go. And so we do not carry his presence on a Sunday. Amen? Come on, church. Wherever you go, you carry his presence. And if you carry his presence, you carry his purpose. And wherever you go with his presence and his purpose, God will be with you. He directs our hearts. And so I want to stir you a little bit this morning, a little bit, if I may. And this is a great man of God. Some of you might have known him, Smith Wigglesworth. Anyone heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Not that old, but I do know.
The older generation. Yeah, he's a firecracker of a guy. Eh? And at near the end of his lifetime, and he was called an apostle of faith, and God used him in very powerful ways. And he said this, during the first few decades, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. The first move will affect every church that is open to receive it, and will be characterized by the restoration of the baptism of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think that's happened. The second move of the Holy Spirit will result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. In the duration of each of these moves, the people who are involved will say, this is a great revival. But the Lord says, no, neither is the great revival. Both are steps towards it. He says, when the church phase is on the wane, when the church is on the decline, okay, there will be evidence in the church, something, listen to this, something that has never been seen, a coming together of those on the emphasis of the Word and the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be, listen to this, the biggest manifestation and movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival. It will eclipse anything that has been witnessed within those shores. Even the Wesleyan and the Welsh revivals of former years, the outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the UK to the mainland of Europe and from there begin to move outwards to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Praise God.
It would be almost next year, it'll be 80 years that man prophesied over your nation the greatest move of the Holy Spirit. Are we open to that? Are we open to allowing God to move? And so I wanted to share two words that God had given me on the plane, and then one word I think we just want to be able to massage something that God showed me in my preparation, and then just trust for God just to continue to minister to us as we stay open to His presence. Is that all right? So the first one, let me find my notes. I actually have notes. I'm going to stick to them. Russ, will you watch my time? I didn't hit my clock. Sorry, buddy. It's like on the plane, and I felt like, okay, God, what do you want to do? What is it that you want to give Great Britain? What is it that you want to give God's people? What is it that you want to emphasize? And he said, Mart, I want to give them my joy. I was like, wow. And he says, for the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and
joy.
Listen to joy in? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I wanted to say to you, what is the second fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love? Joy. I want to say this, in the presence, come on friends, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Come on friends. There's something about when we come back into His presence that the evidence of us being back in His presence is that there is joy. Why? Because in the fullness of His presence, there is joy. Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy. And then the scripture says, can it pure joy, my friends, when you face what? And so as we go through things, as we go through trials and we go through testings, because every trial and testing has a purpose. What is that purpose? Romans 8 tells us that God predestined us to be conformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus. And so when we're going through stuff, friends, do not lose your joy, because God is fashioning His Son into you. His nature, His character, His ability. We become like Christ. If you look at the Bible, it says, Jesus humbled Himself. You're reading Philippians, even unto death, and death on a cross. I think one of the character attributes that Jesus so wonderfully displayed in his journey as he walked on earth was that he was humble. How do we take our humility tank? When God speaks and God gets our attention and God wants us to respond, there's an opposing thing of what will people think? How many of us have been limited even this morning because we are people conscious, we're not God's presence conscious. At a Russell's kind of like a father in the faith to both of us. We got to spend some time with Ray Oliver, if you haven't met him yet, if he hasn't been here. He's a father in the faith, and so we got to ask him some questions, and it's one of the pointers that I wanted to make was he said, the most important thing about you when it comes to God is, what are you like when no one else sees? What are you like when no one else sees? And what he was saying there is, Mart, more than anything else that you're going to do in your life for God, he says it's all going to be determined by what your devotional life looks like. Your time with God. Do you love his presence? Do you love his word? Do you love being with him? And more importantly, do you love getting to know him? More importantly, do you let him love you? And when you let him love you, do you let him love you so that you can find purpose? Because now you know, or do you let him love you because he loves you? Hear what I'm not saying? A lot of us want to love God because we're going to go out and do something. And actually what God wants to do is, I want to love you because you're mine. I don't love my children and say, Daniel, I love you. Now I fall there. I just say, you know why I love you? Because you're mine. You're his. You belong to him. He paid the highest price possible so that he could indwell his presence in your life and dwell with you. Isn't that precious? Isn't that beautiful? Coming back to this thing of joy. I want to encourage you this morning as you, when you leave, write anything down, write this. Do not let anyone or anybody steal your joy. I've seen the flip side of what it looks like when love and joy are absent. Jesus wants us to live and enjoy his love, his joy. Second thing that while I was on the plane, I had this word network. If you know network, some of you in the IT industry, network, it happens, you connect, and I felt like God speak to me about a network of relationships, and the best way I can describe it, and for, I think it's in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, God has good works for us planned in advance to do. So there is works that God has called us to do. Amen? So there are things that God has called us to do. But how many of you know that God does not call us to do things in isolation? He calls us to do it in connectedness, in relationship. You know, there's a scripture that says, do not neglect the gathering of believers. And so friends, when we come together and when we're building relationships and when we're walking together, we are building, guess what? A net. You can say it. A network, okay? And what is those networks built on? What is they, are they established on? They are established on relationships. Guess what the Bible says to this? This is how you will know, church, that these are my disciples. By the way you love one another. How all these networks come together. By the way we love each other will be determined that we are truly his disciples. And so there's a network, there's a coming together of those who are his disciples. And the way we are called his disciples are by the way we love one another. There's so many scriptures I could just talk about that. And so there's a network. And there's the working of God with good works that he's got planned in us in advance for us to do. There's relationships that we have that strengthen the net. Okay? Now I want to ask you, what is the net used for? Catching fish. Are you with me now? It's not network that you thought. Because God is saying, I am strengthening the relationships in this church so that they are based on the love of Jesus that binds us together, that when God moves and he brings in the harvest of unbelievers into the kingdom, you can hold the people that God is bringing you.
Very good.
And so the passage of scripture that God gave me was out of Luke chapter 5. And they'd been fishing all night. If you know a fisherman, the best time to catch fish is at night. It says they had fished all night and were weary. Say, they were weary. How many of you have been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and you're weary? While Russ was up, we were just sharing a little bit. I was thinking, man, this way maybe we can have a moment where we just stand up. And those of you that are trusting for family members to come to know Jesus, I want to say it's a new thing. God is doing new things now. This is a season. We've got to trust God to see our loved ones, our family members coming into the kingdom. Amen. I believe there's a harvest that's coming. But a harvest can't come if a net is not ready. And so they go and they say, well, okay, what do you want us to do, Jesus? I want you to throw out the net on the right side. What does Peter say? He's like a super apostle. Like, I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter. Let's just get job titles right here. Okay. It's daytime, and when you throw a net into the water, what do you think the fish see?
The net.
The net. It's just like, so it's the wrong time. It's just like, this is just not the right time. Well, actually, Peter says this, Lord, because you said so. Isn't God saying something this morning? It's a new season. I am doing new things because I said so. And based on that decision, against everything that's gone on, Lord, we've had no success. We've tried Alpha. We've tried this. We've tried that. We've done all that. And God, we're weary. And now you're asking us to go at the wrong time to go fishing. Never a wrong time to go fishing when God says, go fishing. I believe it's a season for this church where God's saying, cast out your nets. What scripture tells us about casting out our nets? They threw out the nets and they're holding a whole bunch of fish. Not only that, they had to call other help. You know, like when God moves, God moves. Amen? Mm-hmm. Throwing out the net, they have to get another boat to come and help. You know what the scripture says? Here, go read it. The nets were beginning to break. We will not be able to contain what God wants to do in this next season. Amen. Church, here's an ear. Let him hear what God is saying to the church. I'm telling you, God is saying, strengthen your relationships in the church. Establish strong networks of relationships and connections, because what I'm about to do is to bring in a harvest of people. And I mean, in that context of that scripture, it was so much that the nets almost burst. If you think God's not into that business, upper room, 120 people, God, you're on the move, Pentecost, it's going to happen. How many people were added? And then a couple of scriptures later, how many were added? So eventually the church was 10,000 strong. And so friends, do not use the eyes of your past to determine what the future of the church is going to look like. I want to tell you, get into the closet, get into the presence of God and ask God, Jesus, what are you building? What are you saying? What does it mean for me and my life in this local church? What do you require of me in this season? What is the faith level? What are the things you're calling me to trust for in this next season? And then to throw out your net. Then the other passage of scripture that God showed me was Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep. And Jesus says, leave the and go what? Go find the one. And we understand that. It's a question I felt God asked. Give me the liberty to ask you this morning, and you don't have to answer to me, you have to answer to Russell. So, no, I'm joking. I felt like God asked you, me to ask you, who is your one? Not hundreds. God just saying, leave 99 and go and find the. Father God saying, well, who's your one this morning? Who's your one that God is saying? Go and find them. Go fetch them. Leave the 99. Go and find. That's what the Bible says. When you go find that one and you bring home, what happens?
Choice.
Oh, listen to this. You're right, Russ. He says this. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. I spoke about joy in the beginning. Here we're talking about joy in heaven. What's the difference? Yeah. As a sinner has come into the kingdom, God says there's more rejoicing over one soul. So it's lovely to be in church, and it's lovely to have connection, and it's lovely to have a relationship, and it's lovely to enjoy the fellowship of believers, because the Bible said they were devoted to fellowship and to prayer and to breaking of bread. Those things are important, but we are defined by Jesus' mission. Go and make disciples. Who is your one? Who is your one? Because I tell you, in this season, God's not asking all these things. All he's saying is, who is your one? Because your one could be a catalyst to 100. Who's connected to someone, who's connected to someone, who's connected to someone, who's connected to someone else. I once, remember in my 20s, I heard this quote, one step of obedience is better than 1,000 sermons. I don't have to hear over and over and over. I just feel like God's saying, in this season, go and find the one. That's all he's saying. Go and find the one. Spend your money. Extend yourself, but go and find that one that needs to come home. I tell you, there'll be great rejoicing in heaven when that one comes home. The two things that I wanted to be able to try and navigate this morning was this aspect of God calling us back to a devotional life of intimacy with Jesus. And intimacy, as Bob Mumford says it, is into me he sees. And in return, into him we see. And so there is an emphasis in this new season where God's saying is, my church must be defined not by what they do, they must be defined by who they've been with. That was a chance to say amen. This next season mustn't be defined by what we do. It must be defined by who we've been with. It says in the scriptures, they knew that they, those disciples had been with Jesus. Is that what is said of our lives? I can see, Russ, that you've been with Jesus. And so if we want to see the inheritance that God has for Gateway Church, friends, I want to say to you, it's not going to be because Russ and Beeb and the other leaders go, rah, 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 this is what we're going to do. What is going to happen is like, I've been with Jesus. I've met with Jesus. I've had the presence of God on me. God's given me a word today, and I'm going into my workplace, and I'm taking the presence of God with me. I'm risking, I'm stepping out of faith, and I'm trusting for God to meet with people. That's why the early church, it says they grew and they were added to them daily, those who had been saved. And so there is this emphasis this morning on this beautiful bride that Jesus is ravished with. He is just so passionately in love with. And then when you look into the bride's, his heart, he says, oh, my children, my longing is for those who don't know what you see and experience. My longing is that they would come and they would enjoy what you and I enjoy. And so he says, leave the 99. Go and find the one. And when we find the one, friends, in heaven, there's a great rejoicing. So I bring it to a close. Friends, do not let anyone rob you of your joy in the Lord. We're called to live in relationships that are based on our love for Jesus. And therefore, if we love Jesus, we stay connected to each other. Amen? And because we stay connected, we then have capacity to throw out the net. And when we throw out the net, even when we're weary, and we've been doing it all along, in this season I felt God say, when you throw out the net, because he said so, there'll be a catch. I believe there's a harvest coming in. Maybe there's a harvest coming in. But I want to tell you this. Do not be taken back so much about the harvest. Because the harvest is coming in. God does not want you to be overwhelmed by what comes from his hand. He wants you to be overwhelmed what comes from looking at his face. When we keep beholding him, we keep being transformed. And when he grows and he adds, we keep beholding and we keep being transformed. I hope that makes sense this morning. I was trusting this morning that the Lord would bring a softness to our hearts and how we have built our relationships with him when it comes to our devotional lives. That this morning there might be God doing some heart surgery and just saying, actually, come back to the place of being intimate with me. Do you know that I can tell you anything and everything about my wife? Nothing that I don't know about my wife. And that tomorrow or the next day when I speak to her, I'll get to hear things that she's speaking about now and what's happening in her life right now. I mean, like, oh, that's common sense, right? That's common sense. But what about the Lord? What he's speaking to us right now about things that he's doing right now and things that he's wanting to say and do in and through us. The question is, are you this morning willing to make some adjustments that will help you get to that place of saying, God, I'm making my time with you of higher importance. Is that okay? That thing does not be compromised. One final thought, Russ, then I'm done. I just had two D's. Martha and Mary. Martha was caught up in duty, and we understand that we're all called to serve. But Mary had chosen the better way. What had she chosen? And I feel like, guys, do not become so busy like Martha that you've compromised your time with being at the feet of Jesus. And then the second D was this. The Bible says, fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith, right? I believe the strategy of the enemy in this season is quite simple. Distraction. You see, if you are looking at a beautiful woman and you're just focusing on her and you're just like, this is the woman that I love, and you're just beholding her and you're enjoying her, the only way I can get you to stop looking at her is if I distract you. Right? Makes sense. We've got to be careful, friends, of the things that we've allowed to creep into our lives that are actually distractions to take our eyes off Jesus and onto the things that are actually not helpful for us. I hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. And so if you don't mind, I'd love just to pray for you this morning. When I preach like this, I go, Lord, you know, the hardest part is go home and look in the mirror and say, now everything you preached, son, you better live. Amen? And not just good hearers of the word and so deceive ourselves. The Bible says, go and be doers. And we've got a culture where we listen to great preachers, but we don't have the responsibility or the culture to say, actually, now go live it out. And I want to encourage you, go live it out. Go and have the most sweetest moments with Jesus. And when he breaks into your life, go and take it to the darkest places, to the people in your workplace, and say, I have something to give you. And even if they don't want it, the Father is pleased when you step out on his behalf and you represent him and he says, that's my boy, that's my girl. Go for it. So Father, thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you, Father, that there is a supernatural shift that is happening over this church right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that even in this next season, I feel like God is going to call the church to look again at the prophetic promises that have been spoken over this church and to say, have I not spoken and will I not bring into fruition those things which I have spoken over in the past? That there's coming a season where there is going to be a fruition to those things that I have spoken. Amen. And for some of you, God has spoken prophetically over your life and you've allowed it to become dormant. And I feel like God's saying in this season, God is saying, I'm resurrecting those words and I'm bringing them back as a reminder of what I have spoken over your life. Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, warfare over the prophetic words that were given to you by the laying hands of the elders. God has spoken over you and is speaking over you right now. There is a great harvest that God is wanting to bring into Gateway Church. But at the same time, friends, it's going to come when men and women have been spending time with Jesus. And from that place, we're going to see the impact and the influence that's going to happen in the marketplace. Young people coming in. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Russ, I just felt while I was just in worship there, as I was thinking that David had some mighty men. I feel like Russ, God's preparing things behind the scenes, but I felt you're going to come into a place where God is going to give you some mighty men to stand alongside you. I feel like they're going to come and they're going to hold up your arms. And I think that, I sense that in the next season that you're going to be able to achieve way more by doing way less. Because of the people that God is going to raise up and that's going to come alongside you. Some of you might say, oh, that's great, David's mighty men. I felt like even in worship, a father saying to me, there's some men that are mighty men in this meeting, but you don't even know it yet. You don't even know it yet. But God is calling you. And so mighty men of God, arise in Jesus' name. Arise in Jesus' name, for surely this is the season, this is the day, now is the time. The hour is at hand. The trumpet call is blowing. Let the men of God arise for such a time as this, that Lord, truly, we will see, Father, this local church, Lord, begin to impact and, Father, reach out into areas that, Father, they didn't even have in their view. And so, Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray everything that I've shared, Lord, would people would take it to heart, Lord, that they would bring it before you. And, Father, that which is not helpful, Lord, they would throw away. But that which is of the Spirit, that which is true, Father, for this moment, Lord, I pray that they would not brush over it. I pray that they would take hold of it and say, Father, as for me, I'm in, Lord. I'm running to you. I'm not running from you. In Jesus' name, amen.